Welcome to the Blast to the Past podcast, a show where we revisit the media that shaped our culture. I'm here with my co-host, Tab Blankenship. How you doing, Tab?
I'm fantastic. Landry, how are you?
Good. Good to hear, man. I'm good, dude. I'm good. Having a good week. We're almost out of school. Tomorrow's the last day, so feeling
last
good.
Last day. I loved it as a kid. That was the best. Last day, absolutely. Was the best.
No pressure. You're basically just going in to hang out. Maybe watch movies, maybe like play some video games or something. Everyone knows what you're there for. You're there because the government has mandated that we give free lunch to children, and there's really no other purpose for it. So
I was about to ask, why are they there on the last day? You couldn't just do without it. Nothing was getting done.
Nothing is getting done. We're all aware that nothing is getting done. I think that it's just somewhere there's been an arbitrary number set, at least in where I teach, like in like a low income school where they have to do like 180 free lunches a year or so. Hmm. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's the reason or not, but that's somewhere along the line I heard that and I never really questioned it. So, but we're not talking about free lunches today, Tab. We're talking about a movie that came out in 2001 called Training Day, starring Denzel Washington and Ethan Hawke. And this film follows a kind of rookie cop along. Well, he's not a rookie cop per se, but he is on a kind of detective route for the first time, or I don't know what exactly his position would be. Like, I guess they're like, he's like on the drug squad. First day, training day, and he holds up with this kind of crooked cop that you're just trying to figure out the whole time you're watching the film. What did you think about this movie, Tab?
First off, I've never seen this.
Really?
Okay.
Oh my goodness. I'm so excited to talk to you about it.
I've owned it on DVD at one point. I have since sold it in a garage sale.
Okay.
I have not seen this movie. I've only ever seen one clip of it on YouTube, and I will get to that point, that part of the movie, one of the best parts of the movie. I won't spoil which one of it is. It's probably the best part of the movie.
There's a lot of great parts in this movie. Okay.
And I did not go into this having really any idea. I thought this was going to be a fun movie. I don't know why. I thought this was going to be like,
I think it's a pretty fun movie, personally.
A funner movie than it actually turned out to be. I'll put it like that. Didn't know what to expect. Didn't know the entire movie was going to take place in one day. Probably should have guessed that from the title.
But I love that preface. Yeah. I love that premise. I think it's super cool. I love movies that are like super tight, whether it's a small amount of time or just maybe they've only got a couple of locations. I think that's cool. It gives you kind of an intimate setting.
I agree. I did like that. I was about halfway in when I realized, oh, this is going to take place in one day. Yeah. Like this entire story, one day. Okay, so where are we going? You know, wasn't I'll say this, wasn't my favorite of the ones we watched.
Really?
But, you know, wasn't bad. So it was interesting. It was not what I was expecting. And story-wise, genre-wise, like, I don't know. I really don't know what I was thinking was going to happen, but
well, I can tell you this. So I grew up watching this movie around the time it came out. So 2001, I would have been 14 years old. And I remember seeing this movie and it had a very profound impact on me because I can remember it was one of the first of all, Denzel Washington, he's a good guy. Like in my head, in my 14-year-old brain, and I didn't have a lot of experience, especially watching like anti-hero stuff or anything of the sort. I just assumed literally most of the movie that Denzel Washington was a good guy. So it was just kind of breaking my brain constantly that he's kind of got this twisted perspective on the world. And right up until the very end, I think I still believed that he had at least like was mostly good and was just kind of seeing the world through this distorted filter. But he's really kind of just a piece of shit. And the movie is extremely dark and realistic to an extent that I think movies in 2001 didn't do very often. Like the whole movie is filmed in LA and it feels very LA. But you can tell that these are on location shots. So it gives the movie a little bit of texture, I think, that a lot of movies in 2001 didn't quite have. But I think the dynamic between Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington is quite good as well.
Yeah. I was shocked this was 2001.
Yes.
I thought this is just a movie I've been hearing such great things about. For some reason, I assumed it was closer to 2010 or something like that. So
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like a 2001 movie. But then there are other aspects. To me, almost watching it, there were times where I was like, this kind of feels a little more modern. And there's some times where it feels very like 90s almost too. So it's kind of got, it's almost like a time capsule or like a time warp movie. It almost doesn't have, it doesn't feel aged in a particular way. All right. Well, I'm excited to hear your overall thoughts. You threw me for a curveball when you said it wasn't one of your favorites that we've watched. I mean, we've watched a lot of really good movies, so that's understandable, I guess. But I came out of this viewing feeling pretty high. But I think we better just, you know, let's not mince any more words. Let's get right to the meat of the show. It's Tab's Notes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Training Day. The movie opens. Warner Brothers, an AOL Time Warner company.
Oh, wow.
Is Blast AOL to the past. Still a thing?
No, I don't think so. I'm sure that they've gone away from that branding for a reason.
Yeah, and they may have gone through a name change. I vividly remember in the mid to late 90s going to Walmart to get AOL CDs in order for us to use the internet on 56K. Oh, yeah. So I will always have a special place in my heart
100% for America Online. I don't know what I would have done without AOL Instant Messenger when I was in like middle school to early high school. That was my entire social life.
You weren't alone. Okay, so the actual film opens, and we see a sunrise that looks like an atomic bomb has just gone off. One of the most beautiful and disturbing sunrises I've ever seen. Okay.
That feels very LA.
And Training Day, the word Training Day comes across the screen. Very nice title card. I really like that. Okay. It's 5 a.m. and Ethan Hawke's bedside alarm goes off, and he turns that thing off in well under a second. Immediately, as if he was staring at it, just waiting for it to go.
That is a sober man right there. There's no way that guy's not completely sober.
Exactly. Okay, so it is 5 a.m. That's going to be important here in a little bit. Okay, so Ethan wakes up, polishes his LAPD badge, and grabs his service weapon off the kitchen counter. Great place to leave it, by the way. So it's right on the kitchen counter. Yeah, 100%,
especially if you have children.
He gets a phone call. It's Denzel Washington. Hi, nice to meet you. Meet me at a diner at 10 a.m. Ethan was up at 5. Okay, this man has some time to kill.
100%.
And he better get some rest because he's in for a long-ass day.
That is entirely true.
Ethan enters the diner. Denzel Washington's reading the newspaper. Every time Ethan tries to talk to him, Denzel just goes, "Shut up, I'm reading my paper." He is staring at the NASDAQ stock page and looking at nothing else. He's not reading an article. He is just staring at an endless page of just stock quotes. That's all he's looking at. Denzel highly invested in the market. All right. Immediately right off the... So. Agreed. Yeah, Russia's coming. So immediately I kind of get the vibe that maybe Denzel Washington in this movie might be a little difficult to work with. Okay. He is not giving me vibes that tell me this guy's going to be the coworker of the month. All right. He asks Ethan, tell me a story. Ethan starts telling him the story about a DUI stop. Okay. In this story, Ethan Hawke, who, by the way, I'm only going to call them Ethan and Denzel because I don't think I got their names until about an hour in this movie. Fair. So they are Ethan
That's
and
true.
Denzel.
I actually don't think I knew their names either.
Only know Denzel is Alonzo, I believe, or Alfonso, one of the two.
Ethan's Jake. Yeah, okay, you're right. Great. I think it is Alonzo.
Yeah, Jake and Alonzo, possibly Alfonso, and I did not know that until halfway the movie. Okay, so they're going to be Ethan and Denzel. Okay.
Fair.
Ethan from this DUI traffic stop shows that this is his save the cat moment. He's just showing that he's a good person in this story. Okay. And Denzel's like, this guy's kind of naive. He's like a little rookie. He's green. You know, he may not be ready for what we're about to do in narcotics, but it's Ethan's first, you know, chance to show some character, and he comes off as a good guy. Okay. This is definitely a good cop, bad cop movie.
Yes.
They get into the dopest Monte Carlo I've ever seen that appears to be straight out of Compton. Okay.
100%.
This thing has got the rising, you know, where it rises and like,
oh, yeah.
You know, does all that. My Kia does not do that. Okay. I will say it does not. We then, while in the car, get a titular line from Denzel. Gotta love a good titular line. Welcome to Training Day. Denzel immediately, you can kind of understand, does not play by the rules. They watch a drug deal and pull up. They're basically, they park their car in an alley and they're like looking at these guys and they're just watching them. And they watch a drug deal go down and they just like peel out of that alley like a bat out of hell, chase these poor college kids down, right? Probably one of the most disturbing episodes of Scared Straight I've ever seen. So the whole point of this is not to arrest. It is to intimidate these kids into never coming back to this area to buy drugs, okay?
Right.
The driver has a loaded handgun cocked and pointed straight at his face. I will say this. Denzel Washington does two things in this movie. He points a lot of guns at people.
That is 100%. I noticed that a lot. Yeah. That is his like love language.
And he has excellent trigger discipline. His index finger is very rarely on the trigger. It's always off to the side. Like there's going to be, when he's pointing guns at people, he does not want an accidental discharge. Okay.
It's fair. He's not riding with a safety on.
Exactly. Denzel forces Ethan to smoke marijuana at gunpoint. Denzel, we're 10 minutes into this movie. He's already pointing a gun at three people in the car. Now he's pointing a gun at Ethan Hawke, telling him to smoke marijuana. We're four gun points in, and we've barely left the credits, okay?
I will say that, and this movie gets off to a pretty fast start. That's one of the things I really like about it. There's not a lot of exposition. There's not a lot of really, like you said, there's a save the cat moment. There's some pretty good writing as far as like you get your bearings, but man, it's just off to the races. And it's pretty breakneck speed from there.
Yep, agreed.
So respect there.
And then Ethan doesn't want to smoke the weed. So Denzel parks the car in the intersection. Okay. Still pointing the gun at Ethan. So now all these people are like going around the obstruction in the road, and the obstruction is a driver pointing a gun at a passenger.
Right.
All right. So Ethan's like, I don't want to smoke the weed. I'm a goody two shoes. A guy behind Denzel honks the horn, points the gun at him too. This is now five people. He's now pointing the gun at five different people, and we're barely into this movie. Okay. We're 17 minutes in, and Denzel Washington has pointed a loaded gun at five different people. I have no notes written down. Ethan smokes the weed, or so he thinks. Turns out it's PCP.
A little harder than weed.
Yeah, a little bit stronger. So now he is absolutely blown out of his mind. They go to Denzel Washington's friend house. We later learn his name is Roger. Roger seems like a cool guy. I like Roger.
I agree. I would hang out with Roger. Probably up to some nefarious stuff, but
Roger was my favorite. Denzel Washington starts drinking alcohol. At this point, we'll say maybe it's 11 a.m. Okay. I'm not going to judge. But Roger was pouring. Let's say this. Roger wasn't just pouring alcoholic drinks. Roger was pouring the drinks that you drink and you're done.
Right.
Just see how
this was not a two finger pour. He had a whole fistful pour.
These were large glasses. I mean, they're like, they weren't tall, but they were large. They were a handful, and those things were half full. Okay. I don't know what they were drinking, scotch, whiskey, whatever it was. They were down in it quick. Okay. Now they're driving away. They leave Roger's house. I thought Roger's house was a really cool scene, too, by the way.
Yeah.
They're driving, and Ethan notices some ruckus. Some brouhaha in an alleyway. He yells at Denzel, stop the car, jumps out, pulls the gun, runs through traffic, and stops two crackheads from raping a 14-year-old girl. This is a good man. Ethan Hawke is a good man. Okay. It's a gritty fight, too. He chokes one guy out while getting punched and kicked, and then he has to take the other guy down, and then Denzel comes out, and does what Denzel does, points not one, but two guns at one of the crackheads. So now we've got six, seven people he's pointing guns at. This time, this guy's getting double barrels. Okay. They don't arrest him. This did not sit well with me. They don't arrest the two crackhead rapists. They don't arrest them. Okay. They wrap them up. They leave him in handcuffs.
Doesn't sit well with Ethan Hawke.
Good luck getting those off, you know.
Good point.
Yeah, but they don't arrest him. And then they get back in the car, and they're driving, and Ethan's kind of complaining that, hey, why didn't we arrest those guys? This is where there was definitely a crack in the armor for old Denzel. This is where I started to see, like, this is definitely not a good guy. This is not some cop who's a good cop that's, you know, playing outside. You're drawing outside the lines. No. This guy, not a good guy. Not a good guy. Very intense talk in the car. They pull up to a corner. Snoop Dogg alert.
Yeah, there are a lot of California Raptors
alerts.
This movie.
Get used to all the alerts for sightings. There were so many people in this movie. Oh my God. It's like 2001 just unloaded the treasure chest. Like, it is everybody is in this movie. Snoop Dogg in a wheelchair, slinging drugs. They chase him down, knock him out of his chair, pick him back up, point a gun at him, like always.
Hey, shout out to Snoop Dogg's legs acting skills. I mean, I bought that he was a handicapped man. His legs were, I don't know what they did. They boarded those things up or what, but they looked straight as an arrow.
He did a really good job.
He did.
Snoop Dogg did a really good job. Here's the one thing that I'm shocked about of this performance with Snoop is he took the role of the snitch. I mean, I just can't imagine he would take that role over somebody in his position who's probably entire, you know,
but I'm not willing to hand him the gold of musical guest star acting moments in this show. I think the gold's going to have to go to someone else.
No,
he's going to get the silver.
I think two musical actors really stuck out, and it was not Dr. Dre. Don't you dare come in here and say Dr. Dre was the other one.
Of course not. No,
okay, thank you.
Shirley is the other one that rhymes with Dre.
Yes, I thought she did a really good job.
She did an amazing job.
She did a really good job. Now they know who to find. Snoop gave him up. It's the guy named the Sandman. Okay, so they waste no time, and they go to the Sandman's house. And that is where we find a woman on the couch. And I looked at this woman for a little bit, and I was like, she looks familiar. Not as an actress. Where do I know her?
I didn't even recognize her.
Macy Gray.
Incredible. She does such a good job.
Fantastic job.
I bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought they just picked her up at the, the Save-A-Lot or something in Compton. I mean, she looked exactly the part.
Yeah, she nailed it. She did a really good job. So Denzel goes in the back, steals some stuff. Of course, no one's getting arrested. Sandman's not there. They leave the house, and all hell breaks loose. They get to the car, this Monte Carlo, and bullet holes are just tearing through this
thing. It's full on Grand Theft Auto, man.
It is full on. It's insane. Denzel gets out, guns drawn, and just starts unloading. Now we've got a firefight. We got a full-blown firefight, okay? Bullets are flying. What appears to be the entire neighborhood steps out of their house with guns and is just like unloading towards this Monte Carlo. Still somehow only has three bullet holes in the back window. Now they're just leaving. They speed off. They crash a party, and we see Eva Mendez, okay? Eva Mendez signing. Did not know she was in this movie. One of the most beautiful women on earth. We see a kid that's Eva Mendez's kid. And that's when I first get a little hunch, like, oh, Denzel has fathered a fifth boy outside of marriage. Because he previously mentioned he only has four boys. And apparently he might have five, unless he was already encountered before. I don't know. So we got a nice little young kid.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. And I'm going to say that's one of his four sons.
Okay. He did get counted. All right. So now this is the note I have where we're halfway through the movie and I just realized this entire movie is going to take place in one day. This is when I realized it. Okay. They go to a restaurant and meet some Tom Brass, some top brass. Tom Berenger signing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I knew I recognized one of those guys. I didn't know his name. But.
Yeah. Tom Berenger from Sniper 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And Major Leagues. Okay. Denzel Washington leaves $40,000 in one of the top brass's car. Dr. Dre sighting.
Yep.
Did not do as well of a job as Snoop or Macy when it comes to acting.
But, I mean, I would argue that he didn't necessarily, like, fumble the bag here. It was an inoffensive role.
We can agree to disagree. They meet four men on top of a roof. Dr. Dre is one of the four. This is the crew. Now they got these four guys. And, you know, it's Denzel and Ethan, and they're going to go get who I thought was the Sandman. They roll up to the house, something out of Point Break. And whose home is it? Roger.
Yep.
What did Roger do to deserve this level of disrespect?
Well, he had a chest full of $40,000. That's the starting point.
Yeah, I was baffled as to why they're at Roger's house. Okay, so They're trying to shake Roger down a little bit, okay? And they dig up his kitchen floor, find a bunch of money, $4 million. They try and give everybody trying to take $250,000 for themselves. Ethan doesn't want the money. Denzel wants Ethan to kill Roger. Things have escalated quickly, okay?
Oh, yeah. This is where it takes a complete turn.
Yeah. the things are just at a rapid pace. I was struggling to write stuff down because like things were just like happening. And I was like, wait, Roger's about to get killed? I was like, why is Roger about to? What did I miss? This is bananas. Like, it is just happening so quickly. Denzel wants Ethan to kill Roger. He won't do it. So YOLO, Denzel just kills him. Finally points a gun at someone and pulls a trigger. That's called growth. Now they plot how to make this look like it wasn't just a murder. Okay. All the other four officers are, oh, I saw so and so shoot him, or I saw Ethan shoot him. They shoot one of their guys intentionally twice.
Yeah, second one goes through.
I hope he got paid extra.
Pretty sure that guy is dead, actually.
He might have. Yeah, he took one in the chest with a bulletproof vest. That stopped. The next one somewhere in the abdomen didn't. The bullet did not stop. Appears to have gone in. By the way, I think if you're wearing a bulletproof vest and get shot in the chest, it is still going to hurt like a son of a bitch.
No question.
Like, yeah. It's not like it's going to bounce off. Like that thing's going to...
That guy also, the guy who got shot, like 90s movie villain... He's in a ton of stuff. Like, yeah, just dead like a discount villain.
Was he Zed in Pulp Fiction? The hillbilly down at the bottom of the pawn shop?
Oh, yeah, he is. And he's the bad guy in the mask, too.
Yes. Ethan is not playing along. He does not like this plan, and he points a gun at Denzel. Big mistake. Denzel reveals his plan, which is like, this was a cool part of the movie. They're like this. So they just killed Roger. And now Denzel starts saying, well, I don't know, Ethan. You sure you don't want to play along? You got PCP in your system. We've got four people here who are willing to testify that you're the one that killed Roger. Like, are you sure you want to pull this
card
right now?
Set him up from the very beginning. Yeah.
Set him up. Ethan finally gets in. Still won't take the money. This did not sit well with me. Okay, if you're going to go through all this and you're going to witness a murder, lie to your fellow police officers and superiors that you know, the murder didn't happen. It was self-defense. You're going to go through all this. You're going to destroy your credibility, and you're not going to take the money?
It's a moral stand, Tab. He's got to be the good guy. Otherwise, the movie doesn't work.
He's already done the worst part. Like, taking the money is not the worst part.
What? He has not done the worst part. He didn't do anything. He's been set up for that. He can't admit guilt here.
Yeah, but he took part in it, in the cover-up. That's the worst part. He's willing to tell the cops, like, I shot him. You know, it was self-defense. Go along with the story. If you're going to do that, just take
the money. Be an idiot. You can't just go against them and then just, like, sacrifice yourself for literally nothing. I don't know. I feel like taking the money absolves him so far of all transgressions at this point. Not taking the money.
Interesting. I would have taken it. And I'm a guy of morals. So they go to, I mean, he's already dug the grave. Why don't I just dig it a little bit deeper? That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, at this point,
they dug the grave for him through the hole.
It's not an angel.
I disagree with you entirely. I think he's pretty stainless in the whole movie to a point to where it's kind of annoying. But I just feel like there's no way out. They set him up for everything that he's done so far. He didn't pull the trigger and kill the guy.
But he still went along with the plan. So take the money. That's all I'm saying. Okay. I mean, what's done is done.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I disagree.
So now they go to a Hispanic neighborhood, some kind of a party gathering. I would say barbecue, but I didn't see a grill. They go inside and some guys are playing poker. Some faces I recognize. One I really recognize. Tuco from Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And he's still on roids, or not still on roids. This is the preface, I guess. But he's.
I didn't realize Breaking Bad existed in the same universe as Training Day because that is the same character.
It was the exact same character. I could
that
play.
Is,
yeah.
That is the same
my guy got typecast.
It's working out for him. So they play cards. Tuco doesn't appear to know the rules. When Ethan has three of a kind, Tuco's got two pair, and he's so like, I got you, man! Like, winner, winner! I was like, I don't think you know the rules. Okay. At this point, Denzel has secretly left this house party. Okay, so now Ethan's sitting there, very uncomfortable position. Somehow, for some reason, he gave one of the guys his gun, which I imagine you probably shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Very poor decision. Takes the clip out, hands him the gun. Now he gets his gun back, but the clip's gone. What good is a gun with no clip? So he's kind of screwed. Okay. They tell him that Denzel owes some Russians $1 million. And the whole point of the Roger heist was to get that money so Denzel could pay the Russians at midnight to not be murdered.
Okay? Yeah. Overshot his tab by $39 million.
Things escalate quickly, which seems to be a recurring theme in this movie.
Yeah.
Things escalate very fast. Okay, Ethan is knocked out. He's got three guys on top of him. He gets handcuffed, winds up face down in the bathtub with a shotgun in his face. Before they kill Ethan, they decide to check his wallet, take some money. Honestly, just do it. I mean, you're about to kill a guy, right?
Yeah, might as well. Before he gets blood all over it, you're going to do it anyway.
You're going to do it anyway, right? Let's go ahead and take it now. So they pull out like a Hello Kitty wallet. It is a photo of my 14-year-old baby cousin in your wallet. It's the wallet of the girl that he saved in the alley. This is my favorite scene in the movie. And this is the scene that I had seen on YouTube. Okay.
Oh, really? Interesting. This is not the one I expected you to say.
They're now like, we're about to kill this guy. Well, why is my, you know, baby cousin or whatever, niece, why is her ID in your back pocket? And he tells them, I stopped a rape. She was about to get raped. I saved her. They call the niece to clarify the story. At first, she's being a little, I didn't skip school, yada, yada, yada. Eventually, they get the truth out of her. She confirms Ethan saved her from being raped. Okay. Now, Ethan's back in the good graces. Okay. He lost me there for a little bit. Now he's got me back. Okay. Lucky son of a bitch. They decide not to kill Ethan. How could you? You know, you saved
not only
the baby
that,
niece.
Apologize. It was just business.
It's just business. I like that actor. That actor right there with the big mustache, he did a really good job. I've seen him in a lot of things. Ethan takes the bus home. Also has a loaded gun and is cocking it in the back. And he stops in an apartment building. Terry Crews sighting. Now Terry Crews has made an appearance in this film.
Yeah, dude. See his shoulder muscles from a mile away.
The beloved Terry Crews. An American icon, Terry Crews. Somehow Terry Crews is just beloved by everyone. Am I wrong?
True. No, I think you're right. I think that's right.
So Denzel Washington, Ethan has showed up to the apartment of Eva Mendez, okay? And Denzel bastard son completely sells them out and lets Ethan into the apartment with a gun in his hand, okay? Thanks, son. Ethan has the kid hide in the closet. Ethan barges in the room. Eva Mendez, butt siding, fantastic, great job. Just stunningly beautiful woman.
Excellent acting.
Great acting. Some of the best acting I've ever seen. I can only assume she won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress. There's a gunfight that ensues. You know, Ethan tries to arrest Denzel. He ain't having it. They got some gunfight going back and forth. He's in the kitchen. Things are getting crazy. Denzel sneaks out the window like a guy that just fucked your wife. I mean, he just like scurried up that gutter. Like. Anyway, now a foot chase ensues. They're jumping rooftop to rooftop. Denzel gets the best of Ethan, catching them, puffs them up, punching them. You can barely see this scene. It was so dark. Like, the shadows were very heavy in this scene. I had a hard time noticing what the hell was going on.
How did you watch the movie, I wonder?
On the television.
I mean, like, were you streaming it? Were you on cable? What was going on?
Yeah, streaming it.
Interesting. I didn't notice it being very dark, but I was watching it on a Blu-ray, but.
Denzel beats up Ethan, leaves him there laying down, doesn't kill him. Denzel grabs a duffel bag out of a nearby chicken coop.
Yeah.
What? I think it's.
I thought it was like a pigeon place. I don't know what you call. Where do pigeons live? Is it a coop? Is it a coop? Yeah. Because remember in the earlier, they're driving through the neighborhood, like that Compton Street for the first time, and the pigeons fly out, and Ethan's like, what was that? And they're like, that's the signal that the cops are here, essentially. Which is a cool little detail that I'd never thought about.
Well, I didn't catch that part. Denzel leaves the car, but Ethan jumps onto the roof of the car. He jumps from the roof of the apartment onto the hood.
I would have loved to see the shot of him jumping from the roof to the car, because all we see is the, you know, him splashing on the hood of the car.
Yeah, impact on the hood of the car. Okay. This might be the loudest scene of any movie I've ever seen. Like when Denzel peels out of the driveway and then starts crashing into every car in the neighborhood, it is so loud. Like, I had to turn my volume down to like 11. Like, it went from like 45 down to like in the like teens.
Right.
Like, it was so loud.
It does wake the whole neighborhood. So at least there's that.
So Ethan L gets thrown off the car, gets up, gives Denzel a couple knuckle sandwiches. Then apparently the local bloods show up. Everyone's wearing red. And Denzel's like, hey, everybody, whoever killed this guy, I'll make you rich. Well, Denzel must have been a Crip because the bloods are not listening.
Not
they do not kill Ethan. Instead, they turn on Denzel. And the bloods perform what appears to be a citizen's arrest of some sort. Like, it's just like junior sheriffs. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So I think Ethan leaves. Okay. He just walks off. He snatches Denzel's chain. Might have been a badge. Snatches his chain and walks off. And now the bloods are going to take over, right? Next thing you know, Denzel's just driving down the road. What happened? Like, what was the whole point of this? Like, it's not like he got detained. He didn't get murdered. He wasn't arrested. He just let go. The bloods just had a change of heart. And they were like, ah, get out of here. Denzel drives to a red light. Looks next to him. There's a lady lighting a cigarette. Denzel's like, okay, cool, man. I don't know how I'm still alive. I got bullet holes on my car. You know, I just went through one hell of a day. I'm just going to go home. Multiple cars roll up, box Denzel in. They all hop out of the cars with machine guns, and they go totally Sonny Corleone on this guy, and they are just making Swiss cheese out of this car. Denzel cannot die. He gets out. Not dead. Just, you know, he's injured. He ain't dead. You can't kill Denzel. Well, they all point their guns at him, and he eats no less than 60 bullets.
Oh, yeah.
And Rasputin has finally been killed.
Gets a little dead man's dance going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're ready for that.
That would really happen. Like, I'm pretty sure once you get the fatal shot, your body would probably just drop.
Yeah.
It's taking them, you know. So many squibs used, too. So. Rasputin has finally been killed. Ethan arrives home at his house. It is now night. He has had one hell of a day, and dinner had better be ready. End of the movie.
Dinner had better be ready.
Training day.
Yes, that is a perfect summation, I think, of all of the events of the movie. I really enjoyed rewatching this movie. I thought it moved at a really interesting pace. I was pretty engaged the entire time. I put it on last night. And it was late. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch the first hour. I'll watch the next hour tomorrow. I watched the whole thing in one sitting. So that's a good sign that it had me gripped. The DVD had some cool special features. There was an alternative ending. It was the exact same right up to the end where Ethan Hawke pulls into his driveway. And outside of his driveway, the three guys from the dinner earlier, the kind of like top brass that you were mentioning,
yeah,
they're in a Mercedes outside, and they're like, hey, Denzel lost the money, did you get it? He was like, yeah, I turned it into evidence. And they're basically sets up a sequel basically, and he was like, you better not f with me. And they're like, it's just the look in their eyes, and they're like, yeah, you're going to be f'd with, you, because he's probably messing with the mafia at this point. At some point, like, I don't know what these guys are, but they seem like they're high up and involved in some kind of organized crime. So that was kind of like, that's the alternative ending, I guess. Interesting though. No, who knows?
I like that. Here's an alternative ending I just thought of. Ethan comes home and all of his stuff is outside in the yard and his wife's divorcing him.
Okay, fair. Taking the baby and leaving.
Day just got even worse.
Even worse, yes.
Even worse.
Man, you know, one of the things that I loved about this movie was it was the pre-cell phone era, and like no one hardly has, well, there's no smartphones, you know, but that newspaper scene in the diner almost wouldn't work in the modern day because somebody like Ethan Hawke's character would have just been on his phone. He would have just sat in silence and been comfortable with that, but that's not the way things work in this era. And it was, there was a couple of other scenes where I was just like, man, you almost couldn't have this awkward tension because cell phones would ruin it. But
yeah, great point.
In movies, a lot of times that they exist outside of like this, you know, everyday life that we live where people can just be rude and be on their cell phones all the time.
Let me ask you this. If you went to a 16-year-old kid today and said, what does it mean to read the paper? Do you think they would know what that means?
Most of them probably not, to be honest. Yeah. They would probably think about like a school paper before they would think about a newspaper at least. Yeah, I don't, honestly, I think that's archaic language at this point. Yeah. Maybe you slap news in front of me.
Yeah, just said the paper. That's what Denzel said. Like, I'm reading my paper. He's like, shut up. I'm reading my paper. And then when I was writing the notes, I wrote, I'm reading my paper. And then I put a slash newspaper. Because I was going to, like, the exact line was, I'm reading the paper.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if a lot of people, if you're not watching and seeing and you just heard about it, will really know what that means. Not younger people. Older, you know, people, sure. You know, you're 30.
Right.
You at least knew what newspapers were. No one's reading the newspaper. No kids are reading the newspaper today. When I was a kid, I read the newspaper. Read box scores, baseball games, you know, yesterday.
That's exactly what I would go to the sports and then I'd go to the funnies. You know, like any normal American kid with a decent childhood. So let's talk about the historical context of this film. Like, one of the things that stuck out to me and one of the things that I think, if we're talking about this movie 25 years later from its release, is, and we kind of touched on this before, is this movie has a certain realism to it that I think gives the film a real texture. It being filmed on location in Los Angeles, it having a lot of, there are some famous faces of the era, like from the music scene. I don't know if they're all like Def Jam's records or what's the NWA record label, Death Row Records, I think is owned by Def Jam now. But anyway, there's a lot of, you know, music culture in this. I think that's kind of like one of the cool historical context things that makes this film interesting now. Is there anything else that sticks out to you that this film might have that's impactful?
I loved the settings. I thought it was gritty. I thought it was raw. It did feel real. I kind of got a sense of, from watching it, it kind of gave me a little touch of Falling Down.
Oh, man, I love that movie. Yeah, I actually, both of those movies are movies that are so dark at certain moments where I just kind of like, it almost feels gross a little bit. I can feel that.
Yeah, it was a real movie. And I thought the acting was good. I'm on record as saying Denzel Washington is really good at playing Denzel Washington in every movie. And he's one of those actors like Keanu Reeves. Denzel Washington and Keanu Reeves come to mind for this, where they do a really good job of being themselves.
Yeah.
And I think in this movie, Denzel doesn't really play as, like, he's a little different than the real Denzel. I just don't think the real Denzel would be like this.
I think this is one of those movies, like, there are two movies in my mind where I've seen Denzel Washington. One of them is Shakespeare's Macbeth, directed by Joel Coen, 2021. And this movie that really blew my mind and shattered my brain of like what Denzel Washington was. Because typically I kind of thought of him as that, oh, it's Denzel Washington, I know exactly what I'm going to get. Like, I do think he's a good actor, but he plays this character and he plays it well. But those two characters, Macbeth and then this guy in Training Day, are just really different. They're really interesting, you know, twisted characters. I previous to this, I didn't think that was in his range. Kudos to him. I think Ethan Hawke is another actor, even though he does play like the kind of morally almost like perfect role in this movie. There's, in a lot of scenes, I think this is by intention, there is a darkness that comes into his eyes, or at least like a look in his eyes that shows you that he's been through some stuff enough to know he's not just like this pure innocent guy without any past, which I found interesting. He's a good actor too.
I thought he did a really good job in this. My favorite is Ethan Hawke movie, Gattaca.
Never heard of that one.
Love that. Oh, you haven't seen Gattaca? I remember renting that at a movie gallery.
Okay. I love the movie gallery.
He's on a Friday night. I'm so stoked. Like, Friday night, mama let me rent, you know, VHS. That's a gang.
Oh, dude. Those are the best times, man. I love Ethan Hawke from mostly Richard Linklater films. Like, I love Boyhood. That's one of my favorite movies ever made.
Oh, yeah. That was the one filmed over like 20 years or something, right?
Yeah, I think 12 years. Yeah, it follows a boy from like age 8 or 6 to 18. And then he also did Before Sunset, After Sunrise, or whatever, all those, like the Sunset Trilogy is what it's called, I think. And that takes place over 30 years. So it's the same too. It's like him and this girl, they kind of like meet each other and they have a date. And then 10 years later, they meet up. And then 10 years later, they meet up. So that's been going on for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So both really, really are a good trilogy and then a good film. But Ethan Hawke's in all of those. Okay. So I think historically, I think this movie holds up pretty well. I think it will maybe hold up in 30 years. I'll be honest. Like, I think this is a powerhouse story and a really interesting movie because it's so tight and it's one across one day. But like, if you're talking about like the skill of filming this movie, like I didn't notice a lot of, it feels very much like it was a one kind of like B movie blockbuster almost the way it was filmed. There's something about the lighting, something about the angles, the camera angles and stuff. It kind of felt like a low budget movie to me. Still, I think the story's strong enough to carry it through all of that.
Who's the director?
Antoine Fuqua. He has done, he did SWAT. He's done a lot of like The Equalizer, the remake of The Magnificent Seven, Southpaw, Emancipation, Equalizer 2, Equalizer 3, Shooter. I like that movie a lot with Mark Wahlberg. But yeah, I mean, he's directed a ton of stuff. And they're all kind of like these B movie blockbusters, like King Arthur in 2004, Tears of the Sun. So Olympus Has Fallen. My wife really likes that movie for some reason. But yeah, nothing like huge. He's just kind of like got all of these like kind of like low tier hits, I guess. I mean, he's going to make money if you sign him up. But you know who wrote this was David Ayer. This is 2001. And this same screenwriter wrote Fast and the Furious, which came out the same year. So
wow, he big had year a for big, David Ayer.
He had a big year. He also went on to write like Suicide Squad, which is one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. So he's done some interesting stuff. But so what did not work for you in this film?
I think this is a movie that I would probably give it a higher score if I watched it a second and third time and had time to digest it and appreciate it. The curveball of what I was expecting versus what it was probably what threw me the most.
Okay.
I think, you know, just from even having these conversations, I've raised my score up a little bit.
Yeah. You know? This movie caught me so off guard when I was a kid. It really, really did. Like, especially seeing it at 14. I don't think I had a framework for a movie like this. I remember genuinely being disturbed by it because I just didn't know. Like, I think Denzel Washington in this movie is a purely evil character. And I think because I anticipated him constantly being good or doing the wrong thing for the right reason, kind of, like, it really, like, just effed up my framework. Like, I did not understand or compute this, and it just sat with me for a really long time. And I found myself, having not seen this movie probably in 20 years, I found myself being kind of disturbed by it again, all over again, just because it's still like, obviously I'm older now. I have read and seen a lot more stories. So this one wasn't as shocking in a lot of ways, but it's still just like, it messed with my mind a little bit because I still kind of had tricked myself into thinking that Denzel Washington was this kind of like twisted guy with like an ultimately good moral compass, but I really just think that he's pretty evil and selfish throughout the whole entire movie. So we're almost, we're 25 years into this movie, 24 years into this movie. Do you think this will be a movie people watch 30 years from now?
I can see it holding up. It's hard to predict the future, and it's hard to tell if early 2000 movies that really have a 90s feel to them are going to be popular. You know, obviously we're, you know, but I think the acting is good enough, except for Dr. Dre. And then, you know, just like the grittiness of it and the realism of it. It could absolutely wind up in a, you know, like a great 80s movie that you can look back on and go, that really captured the 80s so well. You know, or the 90s or the 70s. This could definitely be a movie that captures early 2001 Los Angeles really well. I don't know. I wasn't there at the time.
Yeah. I wasn't there at all. First time I ever went to LA was like 2 years ago. Honestly, it doesn't look like a lot's changed. I would say that I think I could see it holding up 30 years from now. I don't think this is ever going to be like the number one movie in the world, but I think that if you're looking, I think Denzel Washington as an actor is going to age pretty gracefully, and I think people looking back at his career, this is going to have to be one of the three like touchpoint films for him as an actor, I think. So I think that's where this movie will probably find its biggest camp in the future. And speaking of which, who stole the show for you in this movie, Tab?
There's a lot of people that did a really good job of small parts.
I agree.
Roger and Macy Gray come to mind.
Yes.
The head guy with the mustache who had gunpointed at Ethan. I thought he did a really good job.
All three Snoop of Dogg the main
did a really
dudes
good job. Yeah. And then Denzel did a fantastic job. Ethan Hawke did a fantastic job. It was really well acted. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think I completely agree. Yeah, actors all around bringing out their A games. This was my introduction to Ethan Hawke. Never forget that. And it, yeah, like I said, it already kind of blew my mind with the framework for Denzel. I think Denzel has to take the star of the show for this one. But yeah, Macy Gray, incredible performance. Like, honestly, transforms herself. And then Ethan Hawke, just really good showing. Mendez does a good job. She doesn't have a lot of screen time, to be 100% honest, but she's there for a little bit of time and does fine with it. So, Tab, I'm interested to hear. You said you've already adjusted your score in these conversations, so I am predicting like a 3.5 from you. But what would you give this film out of 5 stars?
Training Day gets 3.5 stars. You've nailed it.
All right.
3.25.
But okay. Hey,
convinced me to raise it up to 3.5.
I love it. I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 stars. For me, I think this is a movie that you should watch if you like police films. If you like good cop, bad cop films, you're going to like this. It's like a anti-buddy cop movie, and it is dark. You may need to take a shower after you watch it. But that is all the time we have today here on Blast to the Past. You can write into us at blasttothepastcast@gmail.com. Tell us what you think about Training Day. Tell us what you think we should look at on a future episode. And we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.